Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Have you ever been cyberbullied? And have you ever been cyberbullied in general too? You know, it's one thing, we're going to talk about it specifically in vet med, but it's something that we're seeing a little bit more of. And I'm really curious to get, some insight. I have a really good conversation with our colleague, Dr. Megan Vaught. How are you, Megan?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I mean, we're going to learn more about this, that you have a cyberbullying task force, and we're going to chat about some what brought you to that moment, of course. So to the listeners, Dr. Megan Vaught, she obtained her DVM from St. George University. We always got to give a shout out to the vet school.
Yes.
In 2013, after completing her clinical rotations at the University of Pennsylvania. And in June 2014, she completed a small amount rotating internship at, here we go again, Tufts University. you're very Switzerland for the vet schools. You've like
I've been all over.
Right, I love that. She completed 3-year emergency residency there at Tufts. And then later that year, she earned her board certification as a diplomat of American College of Emergency Medicine and Critical Care. Dr. Vaught's clinical and research interests include, but not are limited to, respiratory disease, mechanical ventilation, sepsis, polytrauma, severe acid-base, and electrolyte disorders. Dr. Vaught's priority is to provide the highest quality of care and medicine to each patient and their family. In her free time, she enjoys spending time with her husband, their young daughter, and their kitty. That's catastic. So, you know, share with the listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, I'm one of the critical care specialists here at Maine Veterinary Medical Center up in Maine. I have been here for almost 4.5 years now, and we've grown quite a bit over the last few years. We definitely are in an area where there's not a lot of other emergency hospitals or other specialty hospitals, so we are a major resource for this area and really want to provide that care to everyone in that surrounding area. I myself, as you just kind of read, am a mom and a wife, and, you know, we have to kind of go through all of those aspects of life, right? We have so many things that are going on, and it's been really great up here.
Yeah, it's a wonderful team that you have there at Maine Veterinary Medical Center. So, and your role specifically is?
I'm one of the critical care specialists, and I oversee the ECC department.
Okay, so my gosh, you must see so many different cases that come in, and talk about trying to be the driver of that ship. It's got to be a wild ride
sometimes.
I can imagine. I guess you go home and not every day is a different day, that's for sure, with all the cases that you see. And I know that there was a case that we want to touch on, because it's kind of leading us into this discussion of how you're implemented the cyberbullying task force. So share with the listeners a little bit about what happened recently at Maine Veterinary Medical Center.
Yeah, in June, we had a case here that presented for kind of routine signs and unfortunately needed to have an emergency abdominal surgery. And we went through a lot of different aspects to be able to try to provide that for the family. Unfortunately, they were unable to afford that estimate and that surgical procedure. And so rather than choosing a euthanasia as the option, we were able to offer them a surrender option, which certainly happens to a lot of people all the time, right? And we see that as a viable option moving forward. As far as with some of these cases, it doesn't always work out, and some families aren't interested in pursuing that, but this family was and wanted to provide their dog a healthy life moving forward because he was very young. However, this then very quickly turned into a very one-sided media story with a local news cast that went on, and then a social media complete fallout where we had to have local police force here from security standpoint. We had 3,200 phone calls in one afternoon, and ranging from just some ugly language to very specific threats to the staff, myself, my family. And so it certainly was a very big endeavor and a very hard week, to say the least, from both a management standpoint, as well as everyone's stress and emotions, while still trying to provide that care for the patients that do truly need us in this area.
I'm so sorry. At what point did you think things escalated so quickly, you know, with the media? What was there a pivotal moment, or it just kind of happened on its own?
Yeah, it all started right after the news story.
Yeah. And then that news story just kind of got shared and turned into this one-sided.
Yeah, it was a one-sided, like, she went to the news, the owner went to the news, they aired it on TV, which then got shared all over the internet and the country, and then led to kind of social media and Reddit and all sorts of, like, Google and all the different kind of online platforms to kind of spread that negativity and that hatred, which then led to a lot of phone calls and even automated botted phone calls, which I really had never experienced before. But all aspects to be able to try to kind of compound what was happening and not be able to allow true form and function to move forward.
Right. I remember seeing posts about, please, you know, there are some people that, I mean, you had so many people in your corner, of course, so many loyal pet parents that were literally trying to get through to you to be seen, but they couldn't because of all this that was going on. So what was, I know some of the immediate aftermath, what was some of the long-term aftermath that this has caused?
Yeah, thankfully it was a shorter period of time, and we did truly have amazing clients and families and surrounding community with a lot of support, as well as the whole veterinary community as a whole worldwide really rallied behind us, which is just so wonderful. I think long term, it certainly does make you think about how do we manage these things moving forward? How can we try to prepare ourselves? Because unfortunately, this is probably not the last time this is going to happen. My hope is it's never this big again, but how can we help to provide resources that are already out there that we certainly didn't know that were already out there with NAMV or the AVMA that do have some social media aspects and resources that you can use, tips and tricks of how to kind of fend off some of this stuff or how to respond, because it is a careful balance without bullying the bully, right? Because that's certainly not going to get us anywhere. But how can we share our peace without actually causing more of a concern? How can you kind of judge which avenues are the best way to do it, or who can you have as allies surrounding you to be able to make those pieces work and to share your piece of the story? Because sometimes it is about getting that side out too. We tried initially to not necessarily put the medical record out there and that aspect, because we didn't want it to stir into even more of a thing. But for us in particular, we really needed to after a couple of days.
Yeah. And I call it like perception deception. You know, there's you know, certain things perceive it one way. And just to give some other examples to the listeners, that, I mean, there's so many instances in vet med that it's just more of like a communication miss, whether it be from the pet owner, even on our end too. You know, we all want to make sure we over communicate, but I say this wholeheartedly to the pet parents too, is just pick up the phone, just pick up the phone and call. There is no need to leave a negative review, bash somebody about their character, who we work so, so hard to be on that same side of the exam table with them. Just pick up the phone. You know, we're all adults, have a civil conversation about maybe what was communicated or what you didn't understand. And it just irritates me that it has to escalate to these things. And you know, all of us, you know, we all feel so horrible for all of you out there. But one thing that we all noticed, you had an incredible team. You really, really do. So, you know, what are some things that you learned about yourself, your team, and even the profession?
I think for myself, you know, it certainly is a very isolating and scary time, but we really tried to stay focused on the ultimate mission. Why do we all go into veterinary medicine, and why are we here every day? To provide that care for the patients that truly need us, regardless if it's just emergency and critical care or one of the specialty services. So we had to get creative to be able to do that for a few days and still provide that care. But certainly, I think for myself personally, and again, I think a little bit for the team, is we really did dive into like what is the most important for us. And for me, I needed to be able to kind of say, we need to bring some humanity back into veterinary medicine. How can we remember that we are a team? As you said, we're on the same side of the table. You're here to have your pet cared for. That's ultimately our mission. We want to keep you guys together and keep everyone healthy and happy. sometimes that's really hard, and our hearts go out for all of our patients every single day. We're the first people to stay late and to be overextending ourselves to really do what we can in every moment of every day. And how can we remember that we can do that together without going on the internet or leaving that review? Because it's one of the things I've learned through some of my research and starting this task force, like you mentioned, is it only takes one. There, with this whole kind of trolling behavior and this window break theory, it only takes one to shift the context of that language or that conversation, and then it makes it more acceptable for everyone else to continue to do that. So how can we make it that our context and our conversation is from the positive aspect and have that understanding for what the value and the cost and the goals of what veterinary medicine is? You know, we're here to care for your patients and your family members, really at our cores.
Oh, it really is. It's so sweet of you sharing all of that. And I want to know more about the cyberbullying task force. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, myself and the rest of Rare Breed Veterinary Partners did partner with Not One More Vet or NOMV to try to put some of these resources in one location, as well as to have a community and have people that you can talk to when and if this happens. We had no idea that some of those resources already existed with NOMV and with the AVMA, but they do already have some resources. It just takes reaching out to them, which is really hard to do in these moments, right? Because you're already like 7 feet underwater and there's so much stuff happening. But how can we make it accessible while secure? Because we don't want other people to be able to know what our tips are of taking care of some of these things if it's happening. And is there a way that we can try to also provide you to have a resource to talk to? And that might be someone who's also been through it, or, you know, one of the counselors with NOMV, or those sorts of things, to be able to have those resources, because it also happens in much smaller hospitals where you don't have a ton of people around you to support you and to kind of like shift out as we need to. It happens all over the place, unfortunately, way more than we ever want to happen. And so I think this piece, as well as the education of all of these pieces and our education and our communication for, like you said, the everyday workings of what we're doing, is really how we try to step together as a team, families and veterinary medicine, into the next chapter, so that this can hopefully be less, maybe not gone forever, but less.
Yeah, I agree. Less for sure. I think showing what I'm noticing more of, I'm curious to get your take on it too, Megan, but like on social media, for the better, I'm seeing a lot of like educational videos that are being done of the vet hospital, like what to expect when your dog is getting spayed, or, you know, certain disease processes, and showcasing the amount of work that's involved in vet med. And when I read the comments from pet owners, I had no idea, like, this was so involved. Oh my goodness, thank you for sharing this. I'm getting better peace of mind. Do you think, I mean, it's a small portion, but do you think that's a good step in the right direction?
I do. I think I never thought myself I would even be on social media doing some of this stuff, but I do think that it now, in hindsight, with what we've been through, I think it is a really important piece. The community needs to know what we are doing and what that looks like. Veterinary medicine has grown so much in the last 10 years, 5 years even, never mind, even longer than that. And certainly that comes with cost, and that's hard. It's hard to understand those pieces if we aren't giving them that information. And we've also put this huge wall up in the last several years with COVID, where most people weren't even in the building. Yeah. And so what is happening on those day-to-days? What is going into that procedure? What are all of those aspects for this amazing care that they're getting every single day, or for their appointments? Because it is essentially the same as the medicine you and I would have at our hospital or with our doctors, but we aren't necessarily making that parallel. So I do think that those short videos or education blasts are super important to put some of that out. I put just a post about Tria Life IV pumps, right? So just like all the pumps, yeah. And the same kind of thing, like comment after comment about, oh my gosh, it looks just like an ICU. Thank you so much. It was like thousands of people. And that, I think, speaks volumes right there that this is what we need to do. Sure, there's pros and cons to it for varying reasons of putting that stuff on the internet. But I do think if we continue to put that out there, it's going to really help the understanding.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I think it's going to help like close some of the communication gaps that might be happening in vet med. And it could be something as simple, like, I didn't know this spay is going to cost me $500. They just got hit and slapped with it. And I know a hospital did something pretty cool. They took a GoPro camera and they put it on a dog's collar and they did the journey, the patient journey of what it's going to be like, and say hello to your nurse. This is your veterinary technician is going to assist you. And they show all the steps involved. And then they put on the side patient monitoring anesthesia, ovarian hysterectomy, and they don't put the prices, but that way it triggers them to know that when they see that final bill or invoice, wow, that really is the value of the services that are being provided versus, I can't believe ABC Animal Hospital charges an arm and a leg. You know, I think it's just a way of help minimizing some of those problems.
Yep.
And another final thing that I want to close in on is I really do think, Megan, and I hope you agree with me on this, that if you educate the pet parent, and they're not dumb, everyone, they really are, they want to learn. If you educate them, it's really going to help minimize a lot of that compassion fatigue and some of that cyberbullying. If you elicit their perspective a little bit more to say, hey, I want you to take a look at this growth, you know, and I'm not expecting the diagnosis, but I want you to see what I see, you know, see how it's really firm and mobile. I want to get an aspirate of this because I'm concerned that it might be A, B, and C. Oh yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. And you know what, let me take you in the treatment. I want to show you under the microscope. They may not even know what they're looking at, but at least you're getting their buy-in. And then, you know, educational videos on your website, talking about Cushing's disease, knowing that you need to bring a urine sample in if you're worried about diabetes. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, totally agree. I think that awareness, that engagement with each other, you know, it's going to really help not only our relationship, which is going to ultimately then benefit the patient. The more that they're engaged with their health care, just like with our own selves, like the more you're not engaged with your own health, that's not going to necessarily help. So I think that awareness and education is going to tie in with all the rest of this, that people then feel more settled and feel happier with those outcomes and are a part of those decisions rather than just being told, which can sometimes feel one-sided, especially if your hospital is still curbside.
Yeah. You know how like you, you know, back in the day that you say, we're going to take the dog into the back, you know, I always equivalent, like, what is that? The iCloud, you know, like the upside down, what is that? So I think they're doing a lot of ways to help minimize that a little bit more so they can, educate the pet owners. And what are your hopes for the future of our profession or vet med community?
I think we need, you know, to do exactly what we're starting to do, is to kind of help with that education, have a little bit more of a bridge so that we are a team. We're not talking just two strangers together, which may be that you just met this family in an emergency room, but how can we build that relationship quickly? How can we help each other and feel that support on both sides, have that engagement, and try to minimize some of this hard negativity, because that's not going to help us continue to practice the medicine that our families ultimately want us to be available for, right? We could have shut down in those days, but that's not what's going to be helpful for the pets that actually need us here in this surrounding area. And so how can we do that together to be able to pull it all in, be the team that we all hope this to be every day, and be kind to one another.
Just be kind. Two words that are so powerful. Be kind, choose kindness. Right. Megan, I want to thank you on behalf of everyone in this profession. One, for you being in it, for all the light and love that you're giving to our patients and to your team also at the Maine Veterinary Medical Center. You all are fantastic. So please give them all of our love and appreciation, support. We're here for you all. So we want to thank you so much for, you know, sharing this. It's a, you know, sometimes it's a difficult conversation to have, a necessary one. And thank you for all you're doing with the Cyberbullying Task Force.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I will definitely send your love.
Yes, absolutely. Stay possum is what I say to them all. And thank you everyone for tuning in. Please rate this podcast and, you know, just be kind. That's all we want, really want. It's not a lot to ask for these days. So, and it doesn't cost you a thing. So be kind, and we'll see you next time. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.